Yeah. I don't look. You know what I'd like, Al? More than anything, I'd like to not hear Adele for like forever. I mean, not that I'm anti-Adele, but it just means that Chris is swimming in other people's misery and enjoying the losing. And I just don't need to hear her for a while. How about that?
Why do I not see Chris, but I see Chris with a smirk on his face as he's putting together that open?
Right.
You know, just that
Watch
sly
this.
Smirk of, yeah, that's a good weekend. First of all, no, we are basically a lot of Adele fans out there. We hit a certain demo. I've said this before. Typically, the audience used to be men 25, 54. Maybe skews a little younger. Maybe skews a little bit older. I just think we're more of a 18, 25 female.
That's clearly our sweet spot along the way. I do agree with something you said there. You are officially the cooler. You come to one game at SoFi Stadium, and the Rams put up their worst performance of the season. So, I mean, that's really not even anything other than science. You are 0-1 when you go to the Rams game, so please stay away from this point forward.
You know what's funny? In the beginning of the game, first quarter, when Stafford was just kind of in a what felt like a turnover machine, right? Like he was feeling good about himself, throwing interceptions while he's in the end zone and started taking a safety and throwing it to absolutely nobody. I could see out of the corner of his eye, he looked up towards me. And I think there was something about that because I was there and you know, Matt Stafford and the Rams decided to just play. By the way, I've already watched enough bad basketball through the first 10 games. What I didn't need to go see yesterday was go walk into SoFi Stadium and then see just a performance, arguably their worst performance of the season. I just happened to be a part of that.
No arguably about it. It absolutely was. What did you think of SoFi? So here's what happened, just so people understand.
Yep.
Kirk and I are doing the pregame show. We're having a nice time, and we're having a conversation with, you know, the people. Aeneas Williams, the Hall of Famer, came over. We had a nice little interview with him along the way. It was all good. And then Slee came up, and you were in a good mood. You said, "Hey, Trav, good to see you." And there was an in-person Ask Slee. People were coming and asking where you were like they do every week. I said, "He's right there." And then you just disappeared. You're like, "Okay, Trev, see you later." And then you just kind of floated off into the night, and I never saw you again.
Okay, so
did you enjoy your experience? Did you just go home from that point? What was it?
That was it. I went. I paid $80 for parking, and then I took off. I paid $80 to come say hello. And
what sort of interest rate did you get on your loan to pay your parking?
I'm on a conference call. Actually, I'm missing the show starting at 11 because I'm still trying to figure out how to cover that parking. Okay, so this is what I did. I got there probably around 3:30 or so. So I felt like I kind of gave myself a good amount of time. Big shout out, Brad Wallace, Wallace Firm, not just a friend, been a partner of the station for a long time. He invited me to the game. So he had a ticket for me. He tried to get me to go to the Lions game, but I think I told you that there was a Lakers game that night. I'm like, how the hell am I going to do this?
Yeah.
So yesterday, day off, completely chill, 3:30, park, give out. I say, "Hey, can you put $25 on this credit card? And then let me move some money from this checking account real quick over
to move a little money around. Yep. Just give me a second."
Yep. And then, "Can I personally Venmo you $40? And then here's a handful of change in my cup holder. And I think we're at $67. So I was only 13 short. Okay. So get to SoFi. Bro, when we went, I don't know how to properly explain this. When we went, we did our little spots that we were doing.
The ones that run during the Rams games. Yes, I've seen them. They're
great. Yes, correct. I kind of felt like, I've already been there. Like, I saw the place, right? Like, I kind of had this vision in my head. I kind of can't describe what the hell the game was like. I mean, just being there, I spent probably when I came and said hello to you, I left and just kind of did a full, like, let me see this whole place. Let me see with all the fans there, with the, you know, the Jumbotron, everything else going, all the screens at SoFi Stadium. They got different promotions going on, this car there, all this stuff. Let me feel this for a quick second. So I did a full little, you know, walkthrough. But once you sit in your freaking seat, I don't know how to really describe it. Like, I can't stop looking at the board.
Yeah,
I can't stop looking at the board.
Well, it's so big, the scoreboard you're talking about. It's so big, and you really, no matter where you look, you're looking at it. It just takes up your entire field of vision. It's that big, and I'm always struck, and I've been very lucky, and I've gone to all these games so far this season and been in there a handful of times prior to the season. I just can never get over how grand it is, how big it is, that it goes up so high and it goes down so low, down into the bowl that the stadium itself is set in. And by the way, there were another 75,000 people there last night. It's just an incredible environment. It is so loud. Unfortunately, the game itself last night was just lousy. They were not good. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. As always, we encourage your participation on the Travis and Sliwa Show on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back. So are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. It was funny, Slee. So last night we were doing the post-game show, and I was, oh, you know, how are you going to make this Jared Goff's fault? And how is this, you know, what are you going to do to cover for Matt Stafford? And this, that, and the other thing. Look, they were bad. Matt Stafford was worse than that, whatever you want to characterize, throwing back-to-back interceptions on two consecutive passes, something he had never done in his entire career. So, oh, see, that's Matt Stafford. Well, actually, no. That's the first time that that's ever happened in his entire life, where two consecutive passing attempts ended up as interceptions. But there are no excuses. There is no spin. The Tennessee Titans are really good, and they came into SoFi Stadium last night and gave the Rams the business. They pushed them around. They were the more physical team. They were the more competitive team. They were the more disciplined team. They were the team that didn't turn the ball over as many times. The Titans were just better than the Rams last night.
Yeah, I, by the way, there was, you know, part of this where it's okay. Really cool experience. Finally, you sit down and you're like, okay, awesome. Now we're going to watch two teams go at it. You know, listen, I know there was a lot of wind taken out of the sail. Derrick Henry not playing in the game. Mm-hmm. So,
Von Miller didn't play.
Immediately people are going to think, okay, well, the Rams are going to just handle the Titans. Titans from the start to finish controlled that game. And I think it's interesting because, you know, it's you always say this, it's not losing, it's how you lose. Mm-hmm. Well, how did you lose?
What does it look like?
What is it? Is the game close? Is it did it come down to a missed field goal? Was there, okay, a couple errors here, this and that? Rams looked sloppy. Rams were, you know, like you were mentioning, the two, I mean, before you even blinked, Stafford had pretty much spotted 14 points to the Titans, right?
Yep.
The penalties looked like a team that was, it just didn't look like Rams football from the beginning. So I know there's a lot of questions about just in general, who's the squad in the NFL? And I don't think you walked away yesterday saying, you know, really having much of a clearer picture, but maybe the Titans are just that much better than people have maybe give them credit for. It's easy to look at the AFC and say, oh, well, the Buffalo Bills, are the Chiefs going to come back? You kind of point towards other teams. This is without Derrick Henry. They dominated the Rams on national television at SoFi Stadium. And I thought it would be a good game. I did not think that from start to finish the Titans would dominate.
Okay, so see, that's the word that I have a little bit of trouble with is
domination. Let me get it out there again.
Yeah.
Domination.
I don't know if it was that. They were certainly better. There's
wasn't
no question
game.
About it.
There was no point where you didn't feel like it was a game.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about it. First of all, let me start with this. Tennessee is really good. Here's their last four wins. They've won five in a row. It's the longest winning streak in the NFL right now. They've won five in a row. But their last four games have come against the Rams, the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Colts. Mm-hmm. So, all three very good teams, and one, yeah, the Colts are kind of, they're a little back and forth. But Tennessee is really good. But what they're really good at is knowing who they are. They're not going to go out there and score 40 points. They're not going to go out there and track meet it up and down the field the way that the Rams would like
to play to their strengths.
They're going to muddy it up. It's going to be a little sloppy. It's going to be a little physical. It's going to be one of these things where one turnover makes a difference, a penalty makes a difference, and the Rams did all of those things. They had 12 penalties last night. Excuse me.
You almost started crying. You literally started crying. I don't think I've ever seen you so emotional.
I'm emotional. It's you know, it was a tough night for me. The espresso machine was broken.
That's a whole different story.
The whole night got off to a really weird start. That it wasn't really happening for me. But they did exactly what they do. You look at it. The Rams had more yards. The Rams had more plays. The Rams had more passing yards, more rushing yards, more first downs. All of it. And it wasn't, and to your point, it wasn't close. There was never really a time where you thought the Rams were going to win the game. There was into the early part of the fourth quarter, you thought the Rams, if they get hot, all of a sudden they got a chance. But you're right. They never really felt like they had a chance to win the game, and for the reason that you mentioned. Matthew Stafford had two interceptions that were, what the hell is going on around here at interceptions? The one in the end zone was, I know that I'm the guy that always brings up Jared Goff, but it was one of those, I don't even think Jared Goff would have done that, where you're getting spun around and dragged to the ground in the end zone. Look, play's over. It's a safety. Take the 2 points, kick it away, and let's keep it moving. You just don't throw the ball into the middle of the field. That was insane, and obviously a very easy interception. They run it back to about the 2 yard line, and then about a half second later, boom, they're in. They go back out on the field. They get the ball back, pick six to Kevin Byard, and all of a sudden the game is, I don't want to say it's over, but now you've put yourself in a situation against a really good team where unless you get a little lucky along the way, you're not coming back from that. That was the Matthew Stafford that Lions fans couldn't get to their phones fast enough to send me, see, told you. He was terrible. There's no two ways about it. He had a terrible, terrible night. They've played 9 games. He's been terrible once. So everybody needs to calm down a little bit. We'll see how he looks Monday night against the Niners. We'll see if he bounces back and does well in a primetime game, bounces back against a team that, at least in the last few years, has given the Rams some trouble. But this idea that all of a sudden the Rams are dead in the water, that nothing, take it easy. They're 7-2 through 9 games. They're still one of the best teams in the NFC. They got their butts kicked last night. It happens. Look at the day yesterday. Dallas loses to Denver. Buffalo loses to Jacksonville.
Yep.
It's one of those days. As far as bad losses go, that's not a bad loss. Tennessee is 7-2. They're a really good team, and they put it on you. It's a disappointing loss, but I don't think it's not like losing to Jacksonville or to the Denver Broncos.
So it's not the equivalent of that. But I think maybe the right word to put here is disappointing.
Yeah.
They walked into a Sunday night game, no Derrick Henry, SoFi Stadium rocking. You would have thought, hey, it's just a better performance. You said something about the two interceptions that he threw. Early on in that game, it felt like – so they got to Stafford a couple times, right? They sacked him a couple times. All of a sudden it felt like I don't know if, how much of that stays in Matt Stafford's head as the game progresses, but you can tell there was, at least in that, first 12 or first 15 minutes of the game, Stafford wasn't comfortable. And the two picks that he threw, I don't know if that has to do with the fact that he was dropping back in that first drive and getting sacks, or at least at times were putting a lot of pressure on Matthew Stafford. Either way, what I don't want to do is this. I think you're right about the – they're 7-2 through 9 games. They're a really good football team. They lost to a really good Tennessee Titans team. But that does not mean, and I think this is the, this is the part, they were incredibly disappointing yesterday. They really were. I mean, they were underwhelming on national television. They had a chance, and whether the record's 8-1, I guess you're just kind of keeping pace with the Arizona Cardinals. I don't think anybody would have thought, if I'd have played out a couple different scenarios for you, if you would have thought they're down pretty much 2 scores the entire game, and that's kind of how the game went.
Yeah, it was. You mentioned it. The Rams had only given up 4 sacks to Matthew Stafford coming into the game yesterday, right? They got him 5 times yesterday. Mm-hmm. So it was the Ram offensive line really struggled a little bit along the way. I want you to listen to Andrew Whitworth here, because he was asked the question afterwards. And look, just the eye test, Al, you watched it. I watched it. Rams fans watched it last night. It felt like the Rams were out-physicaled last night. Here was Andrew Whitworth's response.
I think if you went back and look at those plays, especially early, some of those were what I would call the ball still sitting back there and nobody's open down the field and kind of late. I think he had one good rush there, kind of late second quarter, where I thought he'd just beat a guy up front. Outside of that, I mean, we're running the football at a pretty good tick, which would be more the physical part of the game.
All right, so look, I get what he's saying, and you're going to have to wait a really long time before you hear an offensive lineman say, yeah, they pushed us around. That's just not something that they're comfortable saying. Slee, you watched it. I watched it. They got pushed around up front last night. You saw David Edwards. He got walked back to the quarterback a couple of different times. That's a bad look. When the other guy just puts his hands on you and moves you wherever he wants to move you, you got out physical.
It's not even just the offensive line. The Rams got out-physicaled all day yesterday, right? Like, it's not just that part of the it's not just watching the offensive line. It's just kind of looking at a game overall, the full 60 minutes. If you they flexed on the Rams, and the Rams didn't really have an answer. Now, maybe the Titans are unique in that sense, that there aren't too many teams that play football like that through 60 minutes. So that might be one positive for the Rams, but they did. They got pushed around, and it wasn't just on the offensive end. It was on both sides of the football.
Well, you talk about that they didn't have an answer. I wonder if they did, but they just didn't want to use it for whatever reason. Because I saw something last night that was working that they just seemed to go away from. We'll get into that next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
It is a million-dollar Monday, Slee, and I wonder if after what we saw last night, because usually when we get our winner, they've been picking the Rams. They've been putting the Rams in the Super Bowl with their prediction. A lot of Buffalo Bills in there as well.
That's right.
And
mm-hmm.
I wonder if maybe we don't see a little Tennessee Titan action with our winner today after what we saw.
What a weird weekend in the NFL. What a weird weekend. I mean, you just kind of you walk away scratching your head. You know, it's kind of comical. The AFC West, 5-3. Has you atop of the AFC West. KC is now, I think, a half game behind. Denver is right there as well. 5-3, 5-3, 5-4, 5-4. I want to say that's the record in the AFC West. And there's no team running away with it. I mean, Arizona's got the best record in the NFL. Would you put all your money on the Arizona Cardinals that they're going to go out and win a Super Bowl? It's just it makes – you know, we actually did this last week. Remember we were talking about how the NBA just does not have this you can walk into a season and you know you feel good that there half the amount of teams are going to be recycled and there's a new half coming into the postseason. This is what makes the NFL so fantastic. Every single week, anybody can beat anybody.
The gap between the very good teams and the very bad teams is not that big. Mm-hmm. And we saw it yesterday. And then you get two good teams like the Rams and the Titans yesterday, and one team plays really well, Tennessee. One team plays very poorly, the Rams, and you get a lopsided game. If those two teams played again, I don't think it goes like that. Now, Tennessee might win again, but sure. I don't think it goes like that because I don't think Matt Stafford just spots them 14 points the way that he did.
I don't think you're going at Stafford enough. I need the same energy you go at some of these other people to go at Stafford a little bit more.
I said he's played terribly. I said he spotted him 14 points. I said that not even Jared Goff would have thrown that first interception. What more would you like?
I don't know.
What
just not enough. Here's all I'm asking. I just want, throughout the show, I want you to take a shot here or there at Stafford. Just listen.
No, I'm not going to do
just
that.
Just a shot here or there at Stafford.
7-2. That's good. 7-2 is good.
That's what I'm saying. Not enough energy.
Yeah, I'll do my best. I'll see if I can get my energy up there very
I don't need you to say all that and then in parentheses put they're 7-2.
They are 7-2. I didn't.
I know,
make
but that doesn't
up.
That doesn't help. That doesn't help what I'm looking
doesn't,
for.
Well, it doesn't get what you want. I understand that. I understand that very quickly. So doing pregame yesterday, people came by looking for you, Slee. Lots. In fact, one guy came by and had an Ask Slee on his phone that I insisted on taking a picture of. You want it right now, or you want to save it for Ask Slee in about 15
your call.
Minutes?
Your call.
I think we'll save it. I think we'll save it. But thanks to everybody that does come by and stop by and say, hey, I love listening to you and Al together. We had two different Alexes come by. Malia and her dad, Tom, were at the Hollywood Park Casino last night.
Awesome.
Shout out to them. Malia's an Arcadia Apache like myself, so we had a nice little conversation. Jonathan, Mel, Paul, all of you guys that came by and said hello yesterday. It really does mean quite a bit, so thanks for that.
That setup is solid. Right when you walk in, there's you and Kirk doing your thing. Amanda was there yesterday too. What a great setup you guys have! It's kind of I don't know, Trav. I literally feel like that's your home. Like I felt like I was walking into your house and
it's a pretty nice
hey, thank
house.
You for having me. Look, where's the restroom?
Yeah, well, the coffee machine was broken. I apologize for that. This is from Big John, and it kind of gets us to where we want to go here. I know it's an Ask Slee day, but my question's for you, Trav. When will McVay start taking some heat for some of these bad Ram losses? Hmm. The two good teams the Rams played at home, Titans and Cards, destroyed them. Only good team they beat this year was Tampa Bay. Okay. I think that's an interesting observation, and that brings us to our Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. The Rams were able to run the ball last night. Darrell Henderson, you look at it, and he only had, I think it's 55 yards, which is not a ton, but he had 55 yards on 11 carries. Okay, that's 5 yards a whack. That's pretty good. That's effective. And when the Rams were running the ball early in the game, the Rams were moving the ball. When the Rams even came out in the second half, when they would run the ball, and I know that they were chasing points at that point, so you don't have a ton of opportunities to run the ball, but they were able to run the ball. And we've heard Sean McVay after, you know, that this one's on me. I need to do a better job. I need to do a better job of putting us in a position. The usual Sean McVay, you know, speech that he gives after the Rams lose a game. I kind of am starting to wonder if we shouldn't believe him when he says some of those things. The Rams were able to run the ball yesterday, and I keep coming back to, look at what's happening with the Chiefs, right? The Chiefs' opponents are forcing them to do the thing that they don't want to do, which is take little bites, little bits and pieces, short underneath passes, and just kind of chip your way down the field as opposed to hitting home runs. The Rams like big plays. The Rams like to throw the ball down the field. They like to get those guys in open space in the middle of the field, and that's been taken away from them, at least it was yesterday, and yet they kept trying to do it. They kept trying to do it, and I just wonder, look, Sean McVay is one of the best coaches in the NFL. If there was a coaching draft, he'd be off the board in the first 4 or 5 picks. Mm-hmm. Okay, that most teams would trade their guy for Sean McVay straight up in a heartbeat. But there does seem to be I want to do it the way that I want to do it. I want to do it by throwing it. I want to do it by throwing it to this particular guy. I want to do it by throwing it in this particular situation, that I'm not just going to do what's available to me in the moment, i.e. the running game. I want to do it through the air. And not that it's not stubborn. I don't know what it is, but it does seem that there's something that prevents them from just doing the thing that's working because it wasn't part of the plan going in.
So let me say this. As much as we compliment Sean McVay, that's not a good trait. That's an awful trait. If you're not, you know, if there is, and I think stubbornness is the right word. No, we're going to win, and we're going to win the way I want to win. How about you just win, whatever it is, right? And if it means, I'll use as an example yesterday, Tennessee's game plan might have changed as the game flowed. Okay, hey, this is working for us. Let's continue to do this. I didn't think this was going to be the strategy tonight. I know, like you said, they spotted 14 points before you even blinked. You're down 21-3 at halftime. I mean, there's a lot that changed once you got to halftime. But I think that there's something there, because you've mentioned this before on Sean McVay. If the running game is working, and the running game could potentially just get enough Titans a little bit closer to where they're paying attention to, okay, hey, guys, they're getting 4 or 5 yards a run here. We got to kind of focus on that. Let's kind of control that portion. That might open it up for Matt Stafford, and then, you know, everything else. Now you kind of have exactly what Sean McVay wants, which is to throw the ball downfield and just kind of put as much pressure as he can. That bothers me to hear. That's twice that you've said that, where it seems like McVay, instead of making the right decision, well, no, I get it, but I'm still going to do it my way. That doesn't concern me about week 9. It concerns me about week 17, right before the playoffs start. Could that be the difference of you having another game at SoFi? It concerns me about decisions in the postseason if you're playing a certain way. Let's just say hypothetically here. You know, the Rams didn't gain ground yesterday. The Packers lost yesterday, right? So you were hoping to kind of gain a little bit of ground. A Dallas lost yesterday. You were hoping to gain a little bit of ground. Just hypothetically here, if you're playing a road game in Green Bay in the postseason in January, you might not be able to do it the way you want to do it. You might not be able to throw the ball down the field 50 times within a game. That little piece there that you've brought up a couple times, I think, is a great observation.
Yeah, it's just something that kind of always just nags in the back of your brain. Just like, hey, you're getting 5 yards every time you give the ball to Darrell Henderson. Why don't we just keep doing that? Why don't we just keep doing that until they take that away, and then we can open it up again? I mean, Cooper Kupp had 11 catches last night for nearly 100 yards again. Do you remember any of them? I don't. And,
no,
and look,
they were
I,
not impactful.
Not at all. There mm-hmm. just weren't those moments. If you would have said to me at the end of the game, how many passes do you think Cooper Kupp caught? I was like, I don't know, 4, 5, maybe tops. He had 11. And it just seems that they just keep pushing the ball. And look, he's a great player. Mm-hmm. I want to keep doing this, despite you accusing me of not bringing the energy with this one. They are 7-2. They are going to go to the playoffs. They are mm-hmm. one of the better teams in the league. They played mm-hmm. badly last night. What did you think of Stafford last night? He was terrible. He was terrible. Slee, did you not hear what I said? I said he did something that Jared Goff wouldn't have done. Is there a more sinister comment than that? Hey, dude, Jared Goff wouldn't even have thrown that ball.
Bro, relax on Stafford. Jeez, they're 7-2.
Let's try our first phone call of the day on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Let's go to Simi Valley, and I'm going to guess Joe. Joe, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Job, my bad. That's all right. Hey, I was agreeing with what you were saying about them running the ball, and I didn't get it. The hugest part in the game to me where it was just gone was you have first and goal at the 4-yard line, and you pass it 3 times. You're going to go for it on 4th down. You're telling me 4 runs, you're not going to get a yard each run? They would have been within 1 score if they score the touchdown right there. Why do you pass 3 times there?
Yeah, it's a very good question, Job. And I think that part of it kind of goes back to what we were talking about a minute ago, that maybe they just felt that up front at the point of attack that they did not feel like they could get, especially in short yardage area, you don't have to worry about somebody running behind you.
Yeah.
That it is a little harder to run the ball in those short spaces. But I would have liked to have seen at least one attempt because everybody in the building knew that Matt Stafford was going to throw those passes.
Trav, you know what's going to be great here, because we had a caller call in earlier about who have they really beat so far? And he's mentioning, okay, Tampa was an impressive win, but you had two really good tests at SoFi, right? Arizona sitting at 8-1. Mm-hmm. Tennessee was a good test yesterday, and you lost both of those games. This is kind of the beauty of their schedule. 3 of their next 4 games, really tough.
Yes.
Right. And when I say really tough, listen, the San Francisco 49ers, nobody's sitting back and saying they're the best team in the NFL. But you're at San Francisco. That's not going to be a walk in the park. You assume Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing in week 12. That game is going to be at Green Bay. You got one against Jacksonville. Right after that, you're at Arizona. So these tests that, you know, you kind of went through. You got through the first half of the season. You're 9-2, and I say first half because you can have 17 games. You're 7-2. You got some really tough matchups coming up, and I think they've been so far as good as they've been. They've also had a schedule that I think has been favorable, but they've taken care of business. So we'll see if this is a team that's the team in the NFC to reckon with, or maybe there's still a lot more work to do.
All right, so the Rams are 7-2. The Lakers are 5-5. So if we feel the way we do about 7-2, how do we feel about 5-5?
Can I tell you my last 3 sports games that I watched? It was Lakers Thunder.
Whoops.
Lakers Portland.
Whoops.
And Rams Tennessee.
Yeah, you should turn off your TV for a while. You should.
Then we got a game tonight.
We'll see how that goes tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. That's all coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I meant to give you a hard time about this sooner than later, Al. I can't believe it took me nearly a half an hour to remember this. But you got in and out of work on Friday. And you and I were chatting both on the air and off the air. Like, so what do you got going this weekend? Like, what are you doing? And you're like, I'm going to go out to dinner with my lady. And I'm going to go, you know, I got a game on Saturday night. Thinking about coming to the Rams on Sunday. You know, like low-key sneaky. It was your birthday on Friday? You didn't know. You don't even tell anybody? You just come in and out like it never even happened? That's the sort of guy you are?
Like a ninja, bro. Like a ninja. Just got in. Nothing was mentioned. We were good to go. By the time I was driving away, I'm like, that was...
I did it.
As easy as can be. As easy as can be.
Why do you guys hate birthdays? It's so fun.
Here's the thing. Yeah, Emily, let me just say this. In life, you have... Listen, my phone has plenty of text messages I got. People who reached out. In life, you have people that you know care about you. And I thought Travis cared about me. Very clearly, he does not.
Well,
so what am I going to do?
I will say this.
I'm awful at birthdays, by the way.
I've always liked you, and I like you more the more I get to know you. But you took a big step in the right direction that you no-showed your birthday, never mentioned it, made me feel very, very fondly towards you. I like that about you a great deal.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer, bro. That's a no-brainer. Like the people that, listen, God bless them if you do this, that's okay. But the ones walking in telling everyone, hey, it's my birthday. It's like, hey, okay, now what do I do? What do I do with that?
Yeah, what about now? Do I have to go get you a cupcake?
It's not even got to go get you a cupcake. It's like, I have to now say happy birthday after you told me it's your birthday.
And I don't really mean it because I really didn't know it was your birthday in the first place.
I feel like there are some people that are raised in birthday families and people that are raised not in birthday families. I have been raised in a birthday family where my entire family cares about our birthdays. And I feel like it's just something that how people are raised. I think it's just interesting.
Birthdays are cool when you're a kid. That's fun. Like you get a birthday party, invite your friends, you get presents and all that. That's fun. Like there are milestone birthdays. 16 is a big deal. 18 is a big deal. 21 is a big deal. Mm-hmm. After that, let's just all take it easy. Let's just everybody add once you've hit your 22nd birthday and beyond, like if you get to 100, we'll put some candles on a cake and we'll do the thing. But beyond that, let's just keep it moving.
I could see you taking birthdays to the next level too. It's like, hey, I'm about to turn 30, and it's like, yeah, sounds good. So here's what we're doing. You know, it's like I could see you just turn the page. Let's move on. Which by the way, I'm kind of the same way on that one.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. It's funny how we were talking about the Lakers on Saturday night, and they're, what is there to say other than they got hammered, they got blown out, AD left, he had a stomach ailment, LeBron didn't play, Russ was terrible, they were down by 33, was it, at one point?
34
at one point. Excuse me,
on Saturday night.
I don't want to short them their point.
7:30 tip.
So far through 10 games, it is a big bag of that doesn't look right.
So the game on Saturday, and that's 10 games in. So now Lakers are sitting at 5-5. So this is, they're sitting at 500, which, by the way, is probably right on track. ESPN does every Monday they come out with their new power rankings. I remember, I think it was maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, that I was like, why would you have them at 8 or wherever they had them? I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. The Lakers are obviously falling back, as they should. This is, where they're sitting today, 5-5. I'm going to say this, Trav, and I know as the show progresses, we're going to spend a lot of time on the Lakers, and we'll take listeners and we'll take callers and everything else. I can't really tell you what the team is going to be 60 days from now. So I think before the season started, you and I would spend some time on this and saying, okay, we know it's going to be a lot better. We know this is before the season started. Okay, they're going to be a good team. They'll be right in the mix in the Western Conference. I think right now it is – let me, if I'm going to give the Lakers some slack here, this is where I'm going to give them slack on, okay? LeBron's missed 4 of the first 10 games. And let's say there's a good chance he won't be back this week. And if he's not back this week, you have Charlotte tonight, Miami on Wednesday, Minnesota on Friday, the Spurs on Sunday, and then actually a week from today you have a game as well against Chicago Bulls. You got 5 games coming up in 7 or 8 days, whatever that is.
Busy week.
So we'll see if LeBron, makes his way back or not. Who would have thought that Talen Horton-Tucker and Kendrick Nunn, two young players, and the Lakers in many of these games are getting beat by young, athletic, fast, up-tempo teams in the NBA, how bad you need those two guys to come back as soon as possible, especially the THT part for me. And I know that's not a – you never want to put a lot on a 20-year-old shoulders, but they need him. Like, to be honest with you, they need a player like Talen Horton-Tucker. Anthony Davis, to start off the season, the bruises and aches and pains again. Honestly, like every single game, it seems like there's something that's happening with Anthony Davis. It could be the thumb. It could be the knee. It could be Coach was saying he threw up 4 times before the game started, got into the game, played 7 minutes, and then he was out again, probably doing the same thing back in the locker room. There are probably 5 different things I could list down as excuses, but I will make this the foundation of the point. The foundation of the point, they haven't looked good. They haven't played good basketball. They played bad teams with LeBron there as well, and they still didn't look good. So the reality is, do I think that the Lakers, should we be judging them just off these 10 games? I think the product we're seeing today is going to be much different down the road. But they also haven't given us enough ammunition to support them. That's been the part I think that's been most frustrating.
I think that's it exactly for me, Al, that you look at these 10 games, and you said it. With LeBron, without LeBron, it's looked kind of the same. Not exactly, but similar. They've played bad teams. Well, they've played in their 10 games, they've only played two good teams. They played Phoenix and Golden State. The rest of it is somewhere between average to downright bad. And they're 5-5. And what you said right there, I think, is everything for me. They did not look good. Sometimes you can just look at a team, and I get it, it's 10 games. This doesn't translate to April, but you through the first
like 10 Matt
games
Stafford
of the season,
last night, right?
Yeah, exactly. You watch the first 10 games of Golden State, you're like, that looks like a pretty good team. Ball moves. Mm-hmm. They're quick. They're athletic.
Their style of play.
The style of play. The pieces fit really well together. They have the look of a good team. The Lakers haven't had the look of a good team at all. And for any point, maybe a little pocket here or there, but there has never been a game at the end of the night say, you know what, that looks like a pretty good team. They've won some games, but that's the part that has me concerned, is that even when LeBron is there, they don't have the look of a team that's really sharp and really good. Can they figure it out? Sure they can. But they're starting in a place that's far further behind than I ever thought it was going to be. They're just not a good team right now. They don't look like a good team. Even if their record is mediocre, the eye test is less than that.
So let's do this. When we're done with Astley, 10:55-ish, I want to get into Russell Westbrook, because there were a lot of phone calls I was getting in the post game show. Russ had a bad night on Saturday night. There's no way of kind of hiding that one. He was 1 of 13 from the field, 6 turnovers. He had a bad night. Dwight, I thought, had some interesting comments about the Lakers' effort. So we can do all that coming up at 10:55. But coming up next, we'll do some Ask Lee. Stay right here, Travis and Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN.
So, Al, now that you came to SoFi yesterday and saw the people asking about Ask Lee, are you a full believer now? Are you fully in? Because people, you were standing there when they're like, "Hey, where's Lee? Where's Ask Lee?" They wanted to meet you.
Yeah, I just follow your lead. You have sold the hell out of Ask Lee and made it interesting. So this is – it's more actually a credit to you.
Interesting.
That was the
best shade you've thrown at a very long time. You've made it interesting.
you really have. Like the fact that you – I don't know why you like it so much, but it's because you like it is why they like it.
I do like it. All right,
I'm just
so kind of
the middleman.
You're just here to so you don't get fined. Jason Levine writes, how does Slee care for the Slee-mobile? Does he wash it in the driveway? Does he use the terrible gas station car wash? Or does he go to the real car wash and tip each person touching his car like a boss?
Okay, so – I used to do those, and this is not too recent. I used to do those, okay, you go in those 5-minute washes, but you have to go and you got to kind of vacuum the whole thing
yourself. Oh, you
got to get out
yourself and do it?
Got to get out and do it yourself. And then I don't know what it was. When I came back, I was in Europe, Middle East, or whatever I was. When I came back, my car was just, it was a joke. Like, I could take it to one of those car washes. I better just go right back in line and take it again, because it was just awful. The easiest thing to do, the smartest thing to do, just go to one of those car washes. You got somebody, they're probably going to charge you $25. If you really want, like, a really good wash, they'll obviously do that as well. But you just sit back, listen to your AirPods, whatever you got on your phone, and just call it a day. So that's the way to do it.
That is the way to do it. The problem is the very, very aggressive upsell that comes along with it. Like, I just want a regular wash. I want the interior vacuumed. No air freshener. Yeah, but
no,
how about a hand wax in the back? It's only an extra $186.
No, listen.
I want the $25 wash. Let's do that.
I like those because when they come at me with it, then I kind of give, you know, I rifle right back and say, no, that's great. That sounds like a good one. I'm still going to stay with the $25.99 super wash, as you call it. And then he fires back. Okay, but what about the rims? You know, you got to get the rims all shiny and everything else.
You don't want to take good care of your tires? You know, if you don't put the stuff on it, they're going to crack. They're going to, you know, if you don't do that, it's going to ruin your paint. Like, buddy, please.
Well, I do come in like I'm not going to get upsold. I probably spend another $10-$15 I didn't know.
Right.
Let's get the headlights going.
Yeah, give me the foam. Here's John. He says, who's the bigger monster in my neighborhood? Dean, who had a garage sale Friday through Sunday for four straight weeks. My goodness.
Jesus.
Or James, who already has his Christmas lights and decorations up.
Oh, the garage sale guy.
For sure.
You kidding me? You got to have every weekend you're going out to just go take a nice walk and people driving through there like it's the 110 freeway. No, thank you. No, thank you. Get the Christmas lights on. Christmas lights could come on in June is better than a four-week garage sale.
Well, here's the thing. This is the first time ever that as we're reading it, one of the options we both at the same time went, oh, my gosh, that sounds terrible. Yeah, no, this is why we have HOAs, right? This is why we don't let our neighbors have four-week garage
sales. Do you find yourself on a Saturday ever just driving around? You're like, you know what, let me stop by here real quick. Let's see what they got.
It has never happened in my entire life. I have never – I'm not, like, morally opposed to them. I'm in my car. I'm not looking to buy your old gym shorts. I'm good. I don't need the lamp that your grandmother gave you from 1968. I don't need that. So I'm just going to
– Sometimes you can find some gems, guys.
Find some gems in there. Find some gems in there.
But the hard part is no one has cash anymore. So you're like, oh, I want this thing. And then you're like, oh, well, it's cash. You're like, oh, well, sorry, I'm not going to buy it now.
No, I'm not going to rifle through.
Babe, I got a mini fridge and a bookshelf. Yeah, Rick was selling it down the street, so we're set.
You live in a dorm, a mini fridge and a bookshelf? Anyway, let's go to Dave. He says, do you and Lady Slee wear matching pajamas for Christmas morning?
No. Yeah, we do not do that. Yeah, we do not do that.
You don't have to be like pajamas, like with the feet and all that, but just get like matching T-shirts.
For sure.
You get like ho, ho, ho with Santa drinking a cup of coffee.
I'm writing this down right now. It's a great idea. Great idea.
See, this is my favorite in Astley, where you just get very, very like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not participating. We're not going to plant any seeds to any ideas along the way.
Funny thing is, she probably would be down to do that. But that's not happening. It's just not
all
happening.
Right. Ryan in La Jolla. When Slee meets one of Lady Slee's friends for the first time and they say, we've heard a lot about you, do you respond with, hope only the good stuff? Hashtag ask Slee.
That's good. That's a good question. I think I probably lean more towards, that's cool. Okay. Awesome. So where are you guys from?
No, you got to put it back on him. So
you
got to
quick shift the attention. Quick.
You say, oh, really? Like what? And then because it's one of those throwaway things that people say.
They don't have a response back. That's good.
Well, just that you're a really nice guy. Oh, that's fascinating. I'm glad that she's selling it that
way.
Or just list all things you know about them. You're like, oh, here's these things that I know about you.
That would be a very short conversation in the Travis realm. Nice to meet you. Oh, yeah, we've heard a lot about you. Oh, that's great. What's your name again? That's how this would go for me.
Where's the restroom?
Francis says, Slee, are you brush your teeth in the restroom guy, work restroom guy? Hashtag ask Slee.
Yes, I am that guy.
Me too?
Yeah, I am. Okay, here's the thing. And I think we kind of fall along the same line here. But if I have, for example, if I have a show that you and I are going to do, and I got Lakers pre-half and post, blah, blah, blah. I'm all but ready to take my shirt off and shower in the sink just to get, you know, keep things fresh a little bit here. So, yes, I am brushing my teeth in the I am going to brush my teeth.
It is definitely a little odd when you come in and someone's doing that, but I'm as guilty
it is
as
odd.
The next guy. One
I
more
agree.
To go here.
I agree. It is odd, but, man, does it not feel like when you just brush your teeth, I'm like, I feel like a new person.
I got to restart on the day. Absolutely. Darb writes, how many times did Slee say, it feels like the earlier time when it was really an hour earlier. Did you drop that on anybody for daylight saving times? Boy, it's 3. It sure does feel like 4, doesn't it?
You know what? Daylight saving time, I didn't really do anything for it, right? The only thing, it's like you – let me try to kind of find the right example. I complained about it last week when we knew it was going to happen, and then it happened – and it was just like, okay, just go about your day. Yesterday, as example, the Rams game, it was dark at 2:15. It's basically dark at 2:15.
pretty early. Although this morning, when the alarm went off, that one extra hour on the first Monday is pretty nice. After that, it's dark at 2:15, and it's a drag. Ask Lee, brought to you by Kia of Carson. This summer, find your next car or SUV at Kia of Carson. Hurry on in to Kia of Carson for the best selection off the 405 at the Carson exit. Go to KiaofCarson.com.
Okay, let's do this when we come back. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Lakers got a game coming up against Charlotte tonight, so LaMelo Ball will be in the house. They start the season out 5-5. I mentioned I got a lot of calls and a lot of tweets on Saturday night after Lakers' loss, and a lot of people going at Russell Westbrook. Westbrook was 1-13. We'll throw it out to Laker fans out there. What do you think of Russell Westbrook so far with the Lake Show, and what do you think of their 5-5 start? We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. Travis and Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN.